Well, it looks like we are nearing the end of lockdown and moving into a time now of things being more open but still restricted. Soon we will be having meetings again in person. But today I want to look at a very famous lockdown, I guess the first lockdown in history. Noah and his family and animals of every kind were locked down and kept safe during a worldwide catastrophe. Noah had a small social bubble of 8 people and was kept safe and protected from a judgment that faced the rest of the world. God came to Noah and told him to build an ark, a place where he could be safe from what was going on in the world around him. A place of confinement that was a place of protection. See, Noah and his family went into the ark and the world was one way. They emerged from the ark and the world was something else entirely. They were saved from the disaster, but they still had to live in the consequences of that disaster and adapt to the changes that that disaster presented them as a family. And you know, it's no less for us, and I thank God for that as a church. We have been protected. That God is bringing us through this difficult time. But at the same time, church, we need to be prepared for things to be different on the other side of our lockdown. Not only will it take a while for things to feel some degree of normal again, a lot will stay different. We went to Teesside Park the other day, we hadn't really been out the house for so long. And it felt so, so strange. Places that you were familiar with are just so different right now. That's not going away anytime in the short term. And we need to be ready to adapt to the new world that we're going to be in, because you know, for Noah, I think Noah didn't deal with the change as well as Noah could have, and that had consequences for Noah. See, our sustainability in this new season will be helped by our adaptability. When Noah got it wrong, we need to get it right. See, the flood was God's judgment upon the world. And God came to Noah and spoke to Noah. We can read that in Genesis 6, verses 13 and 14. And God said to Noah, "I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence throughout them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch." You see, God commanded Noah to build himself an ark, and the ark was a place of confinement, but it was not a prison. It was a place of safety. It was designed by God for a specific purpose. Well, that doesn't mean life on the ark was comfortable or desirable. Can you imagine what it would have been like on the ark? How much it would absolutely stink. Can you imagine all of those animals and all of the things that flow forth from those animals? You see, just because it's not comfortable doesn't mean it's not God's best for you at this time. See, Jesus knows what's best for us, even in times like this where sometimes you can't see the reason for it. This time has been and still will be hard. I get that. But this difficult time for all of us, church, this has been a place of protection. I know not meeting together as one body properly in one place is uncomfortable. But thank God he is sustaining us as a church through this. My prayer through all of this crisis has been not one from new life lost to the virus. And so far that has been the case, and I am saying in faith that that will continue to be the case. We've been confined to our homes, but this is not a prison. This is the place of protection. So Noah builds the ark, and then God speaks to him again. Genesis 7, verses 1, and then I'm going to read verses 4 and 5. Then the Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and all your household, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. For in 7 days I will send rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made I will blot from the face of the ground." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. See, God comes to Noah and gives him a time frame to prepare. He spent all this time building the ark. By the way, I always thought it took him 100 years to build the ark. In fact, you'll hear that a lot, but there's actually no figures as to how long. It certainly seems to be when he was 500, he gave birth to his sons. When he was 600, he went in the ark. We don't actually get a date in between, so it might not have took him 100 years. It might have took him a different amount of time, but either way, it took a long time to build. But then he gets given, once it's built, a time frame. In 7 days, the flood is coming. I remember that day on March the 16th, watching the news. It was a Monday night. And realizing that we weren't going to be able to meet as a church that Sunday. We had just less than 7 days warning. We then met for our leaders meeting, our regular Tuesday leaders meeting, and we all knew on that day, we knew that we were going to have to stop meeting together. We didn't know how long for. We didn't know the consequences of that. But we knew we had a duty to our country to stop in-person meetings straight away. I remember later that Tuesday recording a video that we put on our Facebook page and writing a letter to the church to let everybody know. It felt so unreal. It was so painful to do it, but it was necessary. We acted quickly as a church, not out of fear, but so that we could inform people as quickly as possible and to give us time to prepare how we were going to keep meetings, albeit online only. I remember that Tuesday, coming home, I brought my computer from my office. I remember being in that conservatory and sat there and thinking, I just felt lost. If I couldn't meet up with people in the church, if I couldn't organise meetings for us as a church, if I was going to be unable to connect for some time, who was I? It did teach me that I should not take my identity from what I do for God. And we should never take our identity from our jobs or the things we do. But I remember coming home and just feeling lost. And thinking, we have to keep the church together. It was that Thursday, we went live from the conservatory for the first time. Our first YouTube midweek meeting was like that. And then, at that moment, New Life's lockdown began. God closed the door on the ark. It feels like a very, very long time ago now. And you know, when Noah got into the ark, it was God who closed that door. It was God who closed that door to keep them safe. Genesis 7, I'm going to read 17 and 18, then jump down to 23 and 24. The flood continued 40 days on the earth. The waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heavens. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. God kept Noah and his family safe. It rains for 40 days. And it's another 150 days before the waters start to subside. The rains finally stop and things began to turn around. 40 plus 150, I had to do the maths on this, is 27 weeks of lockdown before things began to change. 27 weeks of the situation getting worse and worse and worse. You know what? That makes our time in lockdown seem a little bit smaller, doesn't it? I mean, we've just had 14 weeks of lockdown so far. But then the waters start to subside. But when the waters start to subside, that is not the end. See, that water doesn't just disappear overnight. They couldn't just get out on day 150 plus 40, 190? Thank you. They don't just get out on that day. That's not the end of it. The waters began to subside, but the lockdown is far from over. Can you imagine how long it takes for all that water to go? You know, we have a bit of an issue at the bottom of our garden. Maybe due to a structure built by a neighbour. Not going to say anything more than that. But it gets waterlogged at the bottom of our garden when it rains. And it becomes really, really soggy. During the winter, especially this winter, it was you were squelching the whole way down. But here's the thing, when the rain stops, it takes ages before the sogginess goes. Now, if you multiply that to a worldwide flood, listen, that's going to take some time to fade. Even as we watch the figures of the virus begin to go down and down and down, infections going down, deaths going down. It can seem very frustrating that we're not back together already. But it's not gone yet. And unfortunately, a lot of people seem to be acting like it has gone. It's not gone yet. We've been given a potential start date from the government this week. Have to admit, my heart just leapt when we were watching that Boris Johnson announced the date. Unfortunately, what he hasn't done is give any details as to what that actually means. So the details at the moment are still extremely vague, which makes it hard to proceed. Listen, church, we might have been given a date where we're allowed, but our lockdown's not easing overnight. This is not going to be church as normal right away. Even when we are in that position where we can have meetings together, or some of us can have meetings together again, there will be a process to coming out of this, just as there was for Noah. Noah was in the ark for over a year before they finally came out. And all they could do in the meantime while they're waiting was test what the situation was like out there and when the time was right. Genesis 8 verses 8 to 9. Then he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set her foot, and she returned to him to the ark. For the waters were still on the face of the whole earth. So he put out his hand and took her and brought her into the ark with him. See, all we can really do at this point is keep on sending out the bird to see if the time is right. Keep testing. Keep checking. And no matter how much we might want to, and believe me, I want to, we can't force that ahead of time. We can't preempt that time. When the time is right, the sign comes and the time is right. So at the moment, I'm spending time waiting on God, waiting for guidance and how we do this process. Because it is not going to be just 1 week, suddenly everything is back to exactly how it used to be. Now, I've been plotting, that sounds sinister, I've been planning a staged process for us getting back to the meetings that we had. So far, it's a 9-stage process, and I'll share that hopefully soon. That's not 9 stages to getting us back to meeting together. That's 9 stages to getting us back to all of the meetings that we were having before this started. I still don't know if it's the right process yet, so I'm waiting for the dove to come back with some confirmation. Because the time that the dove came, when it came back with an olive leaf, Genesis 8 verses 14 to 16, in the second month of the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. And God said to Noah, "Go out from the ark, you and your wife, and your sons, and your sons' wives with you." See, what happened is the dove came back, and then the dove didn't come back because it found somewhere to stay. But it wasn't until God said, "Go out from the ark," that they left. God closed the door, and God opened the door. And their lockdown was at an end. Now, first of all, just two quick things. They didn't leave the ark until God said. But the second thing is when God said, they left the ark. See, the ark had a purpose for a time, but when God says, move, you leave, they couldn't spend the rest of their life on the ark. And the time comes when God says, move, and we move. And their lockdown came to an end. You know, after the flood, a lot had changed. The world they were now in was very different from the world they once knew. And let me tell you, when we emerge from this, things are going to be different. Genesis 9, verses 3 to 5, "Every moving thing that lives," this is God talking to them, "shall be food for you. As I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is its blood. And for your lifeblood I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man." You know, there were many big changes that Noah and his family had to face. First, just this random thing, is they were now able to eat animals. Now, I know that doesn't sound like such a big deal, but you know, you've got to consider it. Before, God had just given them plants, but here he says you can eat from every beast. Now, it came with limits, not eating flesh with its life, that is its blood, and that there'd be a reckoning. Listen, God said we can eat them, but there's a reckoning, and it needs to be done right, and certainly God doesn't give permission there for us to kill animals for sport. But anyway, suddenly, meat is now a dining option. Wonderful though it is, and how much I enjoy eating meat, can you imagine for a moment how strange this would have been for Noah and his family? See, Noah is over 600 years old at this point. He's eaten vegetables his entire life. Now he has to kill and eat an animal for the first time. He has to cook it. He has to work out which bits you eat and which bits you don't eat. I've got to imagine that takes a little bit of getting used to. Another thing that changed, lifespans became different. I mean, when we think of Noah, 600 years old, coming out of the ark, you think, what? But that became a thing of the past. God said before the flood that man's lifespan would now be limited to around 120 years. And I think it's thundering. Round about 120 years. Interestingly enough, that's how long Moses lived. Now, for many, many years, mankind's lifespan has been nowhere near that. In the Middle Ages, 30 was old. You know, disease and social conditions kept our lifespan lower. But interestingly enough, in the modern world, actually 120 is probably where we're heading. but not more than 120. The ecology was different. You know, before the flood, there was the firmament. But now, rain is now a part of everyday life, seed time and harvest. And aside from the fact that the world had to recover from being underwater for a year. See, everything Noah and his family had known in their previous world, in their previous life, it had gone. Every person they'd ever met was gone. Can you imagine how much adjusting that takes to their way of life? Genesis 8:20, it says, Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. See, before the flood, Noah had spent a lot of time as a builder. A long time. But this new world didn't need a builder. And so he needed to adapt. He was a builder, but he became a planter. Noah began to be a man of the soil. That means beforehand, he was not a man of the soil. Noah had to change. Noah had to adapt to this new world he was living in, because this new world needed someone to work the earth. Listen, church, when we emerge from this, things will not be the same. Not for a while. Because the world has changed, and therefore the need has changed. And we as a church, and we as Christians, must be ready to adapt, just as we were ready to adapt to the lockdown. The world needs a church that will reach where it is, not where it was. The world may have changed, but let me tell you, the mission has not changed. The mission is to spread the good news of Jesus to every man, woman, and child, to everyone. You know, one thing I think we've really learned in this lockdown is the spiritual void and the spiritual hunger that's in this nation. And we need to feed those who are desperate for hope. We need to feed them the wonderful gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. At the start of this lockdown, I was looking at our first week back thinking, we're going to have a massive celebration. Everyone all together in one place, and we'd have a massive praise party. Well, clearly, that is not going to be what our first week back is going to look like. The social distance and the COVID safe restrictions are just not going to allow that. Now, I know we've not had clarity, but that's definitely not on the cards. Not for a while. But I tell you, when we can, oh, we're going to have an amazing celebration. Listen, church, we've grown in this time. We've seen great things happen in this time. God has done things in us as a church, and God has done things in us as Christians. And that's the other reason we won't be going back to normal, because not only is the world different, we're different. If we go back the same, then the time has been wasted, and God hasn't changed us. Don't lose what Jesus has done to you, or done in you, in our return. See, this has been a valuable time of learning to stop and trust God. And we've had to trust him and lean on him every day during this. Listen, when things go back, that shouldn't stop. Don't let a longing for what we had ruin what God has coming for you and what God has done in you. We must be ready to step into something new rather than long for what we had. I tell you one thing, church. I know now we will never take our ability to meet together as a church for granted again. Never. I know I won't. I know how precious and beautiful it is when we are together as a church. I will never, ever take it for granted again. But we've also proven during this time that the building is not the church. The meeting is not the church. Because we have still been new life every day of lockdown. Now things are going to be different. For some time. We need to adapt. We need to thrive. We need to make sure that we're ready for what God wants us to do in this time. And we can only do that by adapting and thriving to the change. You see, Noah didn't. And so Noah turned to drink. Genesis 9, verses 20 to 23. Noah began to be a man of the soil, and he planted a vineyard. He drank of the wine and became drunk, and lay uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside. Then Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and walked backward and covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned backward, and they did not see their father's nakedness. Now that's a strange story, but Noah essentially turns to drink and falls asleep in the nude. That's not a good look. But you know, Noah had a lot to deal with. Noah had a lot to process. Can you imagine the trauma? He's witnessed the end of humanity as he knew it. Everybody he ever met, apart from his family, is now dead. The whole time in the ark, I can't imagine, but what was expectations like of what the world would be like when you come out the other side? What would the world be like after the flood? Everything was different. Everything was in recovery. And maybe Noah came out expecting things to largely be the same, albeit, you know, a lot quieter in the neighbourhood. But every forest, every field, every plain would have been drastically altered. And Noah had to become a man of the land. And he turned to drink. You see, adapting to change can be hard. Adapting to expectations that are not met in the way you expected can be hard. But church, don't be like Noah. Adapt. Embrace it. Find God in it. And don't despair. Because the mission stays the same, but the church must always, always, always be ready to change to reach a lost world. We don't change values, we don't change standards, we don't change who we are, but we do change how we reach people. Let me tell you, the church is going to change. In the short term, we are going to restart services very soon. But they are going to look and feel different for a while. It's not going to be a case of every meeting back as it was, just like that. It's going to build. And we will get there, because stage 9 of the plan is every meeting back in place. Now, we can either fight that, or we can find the good in that. Let me tell you, during this time, a revolution's happened. We have seen the start of a new age, and that's the age of the digital church. Online church has been born. It's something that the worldwide church has noticed during this time. It was going to happen. It was going to happen probably in the next 10 years, but God has accelerated it. We have discovered that we are still able to meet when we're not in person. But not just that, we have discovered we can thrive in this as well. We have discovered a whole online congregation. People who would never have walked in the doors of the church have encountered Jesus in this time. Maybe you're watching and you've never even wanted to go through the doors of a church, but something about Jesus has spoken to you in this time. Can I tell you, don't step back from that. Don't step back from that, but embrace him. Listen, online church has to be a part of our future. And that's not just a transmitting what we do on a Sunday morning, although that's part of it. Online is a whole mission field. And one thing we will be doing when things begin to return back into the pattern that we used to have, there will specifically be a meeting in a week that is designed purely for online. A midweek meeting. Not instead of any of our other in-person meetings, but to complement them. Because online opens up new mission fields, new ministries. It opens up new opportunities for the gospel. New ways to tell people that Jesus Christ is Lord. Your mission field, your personal mission field, may become very different in this time. And we need to be ready to adapt to that. You know, for years, we've wondered and wondered. How do you get the gospel past these front doors? You know, we're meeting in a church, and we know it's not about inviting people to the church, but how do we get what we've got in there out? And we've looked at so many different ways, trying to meet people on the street, knocking on doors, posting things through the letterbox, and we've looked and looked and looked, and God, during this time, has just done it. It's put us on devices that are in everybody's home. It's suddenly, it's easier than ever to invite somebody to a meeting. We've looked and looked and looked, and like that, God's just done it. Listen, this changes the way that we can grow as a church as well. You see, we've reached new people in a time where we didn't even have a building or a meeting to put them in. We have an opportunity now to lean into that, to grow that online congregation and turn online congregations into new physical congregations. There's challenges as well, mind. Listen, this lockdown has thrown so many plans that we had at New Life for six. I mean, it really has. It's given us problems to overcome that I was not expecting to have to deal with 4 months ago. But what we need to do is adapt and let the Lord bring out the best in that situation. And we must trust God every step of the way. We must not feel despair. We must not feel lost, because that route leads to drinking and falling asleep naked. One thing this has shown me is we could lose everything, even the place we meet as a church, and it won't stop us. Never. Because we are not the building. Now, the building is a focal point, and a physical meeting offers something online meetings can't. But we must see ourselves in both places. Because after the flood, everything changes. After the flood, we are presented with new opportunities. You know, it is amazing to see how the church has adapted and innovated during this time. It's amazing to see an openness to people to the gospel that was not there a year ago. The idea of what church is and what church is for is different. After the flood, we are presented with new challenges. Listen, this nation, this world, is probably in for a financial storm as a result of this, the likes of which none of us alive have ever seen. As a church, we need to be ready to meet the needs that presents. We need to piece church back together, and it's going to be a challenge. Listen, local lockdowns may still happen. I read this morning Leicester might be in for one. And of course, we need to consider, this may very well be the beginning of sorrows that Jesus talked about. And if that's the case, it's not about to get any easier. The key to thriving in the middle of this challenge, the key to adapting to the challenge is this: trust God every step of the way, and keep hold of the things he's done in you. I pray this time makes us stronger, makes us closer to him, and makes us ready to make most of the opportunities and the challenges that are still to come. Let me tell you, Jesus has been with us every single step of the way, and he will continue to be with us. In the next few weeks, we are moving into a new season as a church, a season of rebuilding. a season of coming back together. And I look forward to taking that journey with all of you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray for us as a church. That, Lord, you'll bring us out at the right time. That you'll lead us and you'll guide us. Lord, we wait for your command. And Lord, we want to follow what it is that you've asked us to do. Lord, I thank you that you've kept us safe. You've protected us. Not just physically, but Lord, as a body. You've kept us together. Lord, I pray for this new season. This season after the flood that we're stepping into. Lord, I pray you help us adapt where we need to adapt. Lord, I pray, Lord, we make the most of every opportunity. And Lord, we face every challenge with you in our front vision. Amen.